verse 35 to 48. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards the daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the household had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master is taking a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked.
Now, my grandfather had a little ritual, a little daily habit that he did every single day. I've shared this story before, but it's very relevant for our sermon and our topic this morning. Every morning when my grandfather woke up, one of the first things he did was he opened the curtains of his bedroom. And as he opened the curtains every day, that was his trigger, that was his reminder to say a little phrase, a little daily habit. And every morning as he opened the curtains, he would say, Maybe today, Lord, maybe today. So he looked out the window, as he looked out into a new day, he wanted to remind himself at the start of the day that maybe today would be the day, Lord. Maybe today would be the day when Jesus Christ would come again. And he did that as a little habit, because he wanted that to be in his mind right at the start of the day, before he started talking to other people, before he went about his day's business. This could actually be the day when Jesus Christ comes back. And that's a good reminder before you start talking to people, before you start interacting, before you get on with life, that maybe today, Lord, maybe today. Because my grandfather believed passionately in the second coming of Jesus Christ. We've been singing about that in lots of the songs this morning. He believes in the second coming of Jesus Christ because the Bible clearly teaches it. And it teaches it in lots of different places. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ came the first time. He came very humbly. Came as a little baby that first Christmas. He lived a humble but obedient life, a perfect life. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And when he was dying on the cross, he was taking the punishment, not for his sins, but for our sins. Dying as a sacrifice. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ rose again. He is risen, as we sang passionately this morning. So the Bible teaches us. The Bible then teaches us that 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus Christ ascended. He's now at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But the Bible also teaches us that one day Jesus Christ will come again. The first time he came humbly. The second time he comes, he will come in all his glory. Jesus taught that himself. So in John 14, he says, I am going, but if I go, I will do what? I will come again. I will bring you. Those of you who put your faith and trust in me, I will bring you to be with my Father also. And as Christians, we should actually long for the second coming of Jesus Christ. One of those songs we sang there this morning said, Glorious Day. That's what it will be. It will be a glorious day when Jesus Christ comes again. Some of us think it's going to be an anticlimax. We're happy as we are. We're content with our lives. life's working out quite well for me. I'm happy enough with my family, comfortable enough in my surroundings. And that can be the danger for us in the West. We become very comfortable in our situations, in our surroundings, that actually the thought of Christ coming again, well, that's going to be a bit of an anticlimax. It's going to interrupt my nice life here. If we think like that, we haven't a clue. We haven't a clue, because it will be a glorious day when Jesus Christ comes again. And the reason it'll be a glorious day is because this is an imperfect world. No matter how good your life might be at the moment, this world is imperfect. This is a messed up, sinful world that's been spoiled by the fall. We have imperfect bodies. Some are more imperfect than others. You might be feeling the aches, the pains, the sufferings. We have imperfect bodies. We have imperfect relationships with one another, and so we fall out, we say hurtful things, we're offended by people. We have imperfect relationships. We have imperfect jobs, don't we? Jobs that cause stress and hassle and pressure. And we have an imperfect relationship with God. There's a barrier between us. We can't even, it's not like in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve just talked freely, communicated with God. They had that perfect relationship. This is an imperfect world. And here's the message of the Bible: the best is yet to be. It's going to be a glorious day when Christ comes again, because we will be with him and we will be like him. We will see him in all his glory, and the best is yet to be. And that should be something that we long for. We will be in a perfect place with our, and the best thing is we'll be with our perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is coming again is the message of the Bible. Now, we don't know when. We don't know exactly when he's coming. Only the Father knows. That's what Matthew 24 tells us. No one knows the day or the hour. But here's what we are told in Scripture. This is what Scripture tells us very, very clearly. And we see it in the teachings of Jesus Christ himself. He says, be ready. And that is actually the main message of this parable that Jordan read for us this morning. Be ready. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour when that glorious day will happen. But we must be ready. I wonder this morning, are we ready? Am I ready? Are you ready? Are we watching for his coming? Are we longing for Jesus Christ to come again? Or does it even register with us? When was the last time you thought about Jesus coming again? Maybe today, Lord. Does that ever enter our minds? Does it ever enter my mind? Does it even register with us? Do we ever live our lives in the light of his coming? This might be the day when Jesus Christ comes again. And because this might be the day, I'm going to live today in the light of his soon return. Maybe today, Lord. And the point of this parable is, be ready. It's a very simple parable, and it makes a very simple point. It tells a story about a master. A master who's going away, and he's off for a good time because he's away to a wedding. And in biblical times, the weddings would have often taken place at night time. So this master of the house has gone to a great wedding feast. He's going to return at some stage, but we're not exactly sure when the party will end and when he will get back to his own home. He might come on the first watch of the night, he might come on the second watch, he might come in the third watch. That's what they did in ancient times. They split the day up into different watches. There's a difference between the Romans and the Jews. Some of them divided the watches into 3-hour segments, some divided into 4-hour segments. But we're not sure when the master's going to return home. Could be the first watch, the second watch, or the third watch of the evening. But the servants, the ones who have been left behind looking after the house, must be ready. That's what it says in verse 35 of Luke 12. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Stay dressed for action. Don't be lounging about in your pajamas and your slippers, dozing off, not knowing what time the master is going to return. It says they're dressed for action. In Bible times, they would have worn long, flowing robes. To be dressed for action means that you hitch up your robe and you tuck it into your belt so you're able to move. You're able to do something quickly. You're ready for action and you're expecting something to happen. And those servants who are ready for action will also have their lamps burning. There's constant watch. Darkness, there's no street lights out there. They don't want to miss anything. They don't want to hear a rap at the door and be caught unawares. They want to have their lamps burning, looking out, looking in anticipation for their master returning at any time. So it says in verse 36, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. We don't want to leave him standing there at the door, fumbling about, trying to get the bolts open. As soon as he knocks, the door will be wide open. And those servants who are found ready and watching and anticipating will be blessed. They will be rewarded. That's what verse 37 says. Blessed. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. It's a remarkable thing here, a remarkable part of the story, because there's a twist here. Because masters of houses in those days were like a king. His servants were at his beck and call. Whatever he said went. Servants did all the menial things for him. But what happens to those servants who he finds ready and waiting and anticipating? There's actually a reversal of roles. He'll tell the servants to sit down. And the master becomes the servant, and he serves his servants. He blesses them. And there is a reward that awaits those who are ready for the master's return. It's an easy point to see what Jesus is making here in the parable. What he's telling us is that blessing awaits those who are waiting, who are watching, and who are ready for Jesus Christ's second coming. Maybe today, Lord. Maybe today, those who are ready will be blessed. And then the story changes to a burglary, verse 39. But know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken in. The Bible sometimes uses this image about Jesus coming. Thessalonians talks about he will come as a thief in the night. Now, a thief is not the kind of person you want. It's not saying Jesus is like a thief in his character and his behavior. What it's saying is Jesus is like a thief in his the way he appears. It's unexpected. It's uncertain. It takes people unawares. And so that's why you must be ready. I know somebody this week who was burgled. They left the house for 15, 20 minutes, went out, came back. Time they came back, the burglar had been and gone. Now, if they had known the burglar was coming, they wouldn't have left the house, would they? We know that Jesus Christ is coming. We don't know when he will come, but we know he is coming. And so we must constantly be ready. But Jesus made this promise 2,000 years ago. I'm going to go, and if I go, I will come again. And it hasn't happened. 2,000 years have passed. Wonder what watch of the night is that? Well past the first watch, and the second, perhaps the third watch of the night. It hasn't happened. And so it's very tempting for us to just sit back and think, well, it hasn't happened yet. It's unlikely to happen in our lifetime. It's unlikely ever to happen to us. No. We must be ready. So Jesus' point, it's going to happen when you don't expect it, so you must be ready. Robert Murray McShane was a famous minister from the 1800s, and he used to go up to people in his congregation and say this, do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming today? Do you believe that? And often members of his congregation would say, don't know. Hasn't come after 2,000 years. It's unlikely. Don't think he's coming again. And then McShane would quote verse 40 to them. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He'd come today. If you don't expect it today, he could still come today. He's going to come at an unexpected time. Now, there's lots of debate about how Jesus Christ will return, the manner of his return. It's called eschatology. That's the study of end times. Some people are fascinated by that, and that's a good thing, to have an interest in how Jesus Christ will return again. Some people have an unhealthy obsession with that, but on the other side, there are lots of people who have an unhealthy lack of interest in the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return again. But here's the important thing. The most important thing is not to know exactly how it's all going to pan out in the future, how exactly it's going to happen. Do you know what the most important thing is? The point that Jesus is driving home to us. We must be ready. We must be ready for when Jesus Christ comes again. But how do we get ready? Sitting here this morning, how do you actually get yourself ready for the fact that maybe today, Lord, Jesus might come again? Well, getting ready for Jesus' second coming starts by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, of having the right relationship with the one who is coming back. He came the first time to deal with our sin and to offer salvation. And so we must have accepted his first coming and the purpose of his first coming to be ready for his second coming. For Christians, the second coming of Jesus Christ will be a glorious day. It will be an end of sin. It will be an end of suffering. It will be an end of death. And we will enter into full salvation. We will be with our Savior forever and ever in his presence, enjoying all the blessings. But here's the reality. For those of you who have rejected Christ's first coming and all that it achieved on the cross, the resurrection, and his ascension, the second coming of Jesus Christ will not be a glorious day for you. The second coming of Jesus Christ is something to be dreaded. It is something to fear. Because the second coming of Jesus Christ will bring for you judgment, and it will bring separation if you have rejected Jesus Christ in this life. I wonder this morning, are you ready? Sadly, some of you are not. Some of you are not ready for that glorious day when Jesus Christ will come again. The second coming will bring separation. It will bring separation between families. There are husbands and wives here this morning, and one of you is ready, and one of you is not. And if Christ was to come again, you'd be separated. There are family members, children and parents, wider family. And the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to bring separation. But more importantly than that, these human relationships, the second coming of Jesus Christ will bring separation with God. You'll be separated because you've rejected him here in this life. And if you reject Christ and his offer of salvation, he will reject you in the coming judgment as well. I wonder this morning, are you ready for Christ's return? If you're not, you need to get ready. You need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to come to all that his first coming achieved through a perfect life, sacrificial death, resurrection, and you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I wonder this morning, are you ready? What did Jesus Christ say? You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. If you're a Christian here this morning, how do you get ready? How do you get ready for Jesus Christ coming again? Obviously, you're ready in salvation. You're ready to meet your Savior. But what is Jesus Christ looking for when he comes again for those who are believers? Do you know what he's looking for? He's looking for faithfulness. Because that's the point of the second part of the parable that Jesus makes. He wants us to be faithful. Look at verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portions of food at the proper time?" The Christian's responsibility in the light of Jesus Christ coming again at an unexpected time is to be faithful, to be found faithful and wise when he comes. That's what Christ is looking for from us. We need to be faithful. What do we need to be faithful in? We need to be faithful in our obedience. Christ is the master. And we need to be faithful in our obedience, following the master's commands. That means obeying the words that he's given us, that we find in his word. We need to be faithful in our love for God. That's what we're told in Scripture. We're told to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Are we faithful to that instruction the master has given, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength? So when he comes, will he find us faithful, or will his return find us cold-hearted, love for other things, and no love for the master? We need to be faithful in our love for one another, because the Bible also instructs us to do that. We're told to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Are we ready for Christ's return? Or is there any broken relationship out there that needs to be fixed? Is there people you need to go and say sorry to? Are there people you need to go and have a conversation, a meaningful conversation? Is there a child you need to go and apologize to? Is there a parent you need to go and restore that relationship with? Will Christ's return find us faithful to the instructions of Scripture, to love one another and to deal with these human relationships as well? We need to be found faithful in our love for the lost. Christ is coming and many are not ready. Many are not ready in our town, in our province and across the world? Are we faithful in obeying his command to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, of his first coming and his second coming, with people who need to hear the greatest message in the world? Are we being faithful to that command to go and share the gospel so others can be ready for his coming as well? This parable is also about servants. What's the role of a servant? What's a servant's job? A servant's job is to serve. And as Christians, we should all be in service, be faithful in service for the Master. So it is with all of us as Christians. God has given us, if you're a believer, God has given each one of us gifts, spiritual gifts. They might look different from the person sitting beside you, but gifts not for your blessing, but the blessing and the building up of the church. God has equipped all of us for service, all different roles, all working together for the benefit of the body. Are we using the gifts that God has given us to bless the church? Faithfulness will be rewarded. That's what we see in verse 43. Let's pick it up in verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. Those who are found faithful, faithful in service, will be rewarded when the Father comes. If Christ was to come again, how would he find us? It's a challenge to my heart. Well, I trust that's a challenge to your heart. How will he find us? Will he find us faithful, obedient, and wise? Or will his return find us unfaithful, disobedient, and foolish? But here's the really challenging part. Here's the really striking part of this passage. Not only will the faithful be rewarded, but the unfaithful, the disobedient servants will be punished. Did you pick that up as Jordan read it? Let's pick it up in verse 45. Let me read from there. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is the attitude some people have to Jesus. He just wants to come and give everybody a lovely warm hug, no matter what you've done. Yes, he is a gracious Savior, but these are strong words. Jesus does not mince his words here in the consequences and the responsibilities of those who are unfaithful when Jesus Christ returns. The servant who thinks, my master's away. It's a long time since he's been here. He's out of sight. He's out of mind. He's not going to return anytime soon, is he? He's not going to show up at the door. So because he's not going to show up, I'm free to behave with any way I want. There's no consequences. Let me just have a good time. Let me just be ungodly. Just treat people in a dreadful way. It's okay because I'll get away with it. And he will get away with it. And that servant will get away with his unfaithful behavior until the master returns. And the master returns unexpectedly for him, and then he'll experience judgment. This is serious stuff that we have here. We can't just take these verses and toss them out of our Bible. We need to take the responsibility of verses 45 through to verses 48. There's degrees of punishment in these verses. It ranges from people being cut into pieces through to those who receive a light beating. And it depends how we have been unfaithful to the master. Really what it's making is there will be a fairness here. So those who have completely rejected the master will be treated accordingly. Those who did it in some kind of ignorance will receive a lesser punishment. Now here's what I must stress in case people are confused. If you take this passage in isolation, it could cause some worrying thoughts, but we need to take every passage in the light of all of the teaching of Scripture. And what we know very clearly from Scripture is a genuine believer cannot lose his salvation. What does Romans 8 say? We looked at this a few weeks ago. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So once you're in Christ Jesus, once you have been joined with Christ, you're born again by the Spirit of God. You cannot be unborn. You cannot lose that union. Okay? There's no condemnation. We are saved by faith. We don't lose our salvation because our works, well, we're disobedient. The Bible very clearly teaches that once we are in Christ, we are joined with Christ. But here's what the parable does teach. There are consequences. There are future consequences for how we live here and live our lives. The faithful will be blessed and rewarded. The unfaithful, the disobedient, will be punished in judgment at his return. Let's take Christ's words seriously. So every morning my grandfather would wake up, open the curtains, say the same thing. A little habit, but a good habit to have. Maybe today, Lord. Here's the reality. Many of us, I include myself here, we need to wake up to the reality that Jesus Christ is coming again. And every day that passes is a day closer to when Jesus Christ will come again. And it could be today, because he will come at a time when we do not expect. Do you know what that should do? That should motivate us to Christian living. It should motivate us a desire to please the Master. So when Jesus Christ comes, we will be found faithful at his coming. Jesus Christ may not come in our lifetime. That's a reality. There are many believers who have died, absent from the body, present with the Savior, that have died. My grandfather longed for the second coming. He always said, I don't want to die. I want to be alive when Jesus Christ returns. He never saw that day. He died 18, 19, probably years ago, something like that. Never saw that day. But he was ready for that day. And that's the challenge for each one of us. Let's look at verse 40 as we finish. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So let's be ready, and let's be faithful. Because maybe today, Lord, maybe today. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this great truth that Jesus Christ is coming again. And it will be a glorious day because he will come in all his glory and the best is yet to be. That we will be with you. We will be brought out of this imperfect world. A world of imperfect bodies, of imperfect relationships, of imperfect life, and we will see you in all perfection and know you in a way that we have never known you before. But Lord God, help each one of us to be ready. Help us to be trusting in you and living a life which is faithful as well. We are weak, and so we need your help. We pray you'd fill us with God, the Holy Spirit. Help us to be ready and help us to be faithful. And we ask us and we plead with you, in Jesus Christ's great name, amen.